Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. Writer, director, actor, and artist John Waters occupies a space all his own in American culture, from trash film classics like Hairspray, Pink Flamingos, and Crybaby, to his one-man stage shows, to his many books, including his latest, Carsick. John Waters hitchhikes across America. Last month, Waters was honored with a Film Society of Lincoln Center career retrospective celebrating his half-century of work. This Saturday night, Waters will be in our region at Basilica Hudson for a performance of his one-man show, This Filthy World, Volume 2. That follows a book signing that afternoon at Finch in Hudson. The performance is a benefit for the AIDS Council of Northeastern New York and Basilica Arts. Waters returns to the WAMC listening area in December for a performance of his Christmas show, December 12th in Northampton at the Calvin Theater. When I reached John Waters for our interview, we began by discussing whether it's appropriate to bring family to his shows.
I'm glad to speak with you. I think I was in Albany on my Christmas tour before.
I went to that show with my parents. I'm not sure if that was a mistake or not.
Oh, my God. My sister always says when she's, I'm not sitting next to Mom. Oh, God, no. I don't think it's ever the show to see with your parents. Although, these days, parents come and they bring their insane children as a last-ditch effort to bond.
Does it work?
And I find that, I don't know, because I don't see them later, but they usually stay, and I only know that because of the book signing when they come up to me, and you can tell, kind of, and I don't know if it works, but I like the idea that the parent tries that, and my name at least can lure the kid into not being angry enough at their parents to accept.
Did you ever think you'd be family-friendly entertainment?
Well, I'm not family-friendly, but I'm never mean, so I think that's why. I think my humor is always I make fun of things I love, and I ask you to come into a world that you might be very uncomfortable in, but I'll be your guide, and that way people feel safe. So I don't think people ever get mad at what I say anymore. They don't. And my sister said to me, how do you get away with saying this shit? And I don't really know really anymore why I do, how I do, but I do.
Do you think the culture has caught up to you?
I think, I'm not saying caught up, I think we've moved at a weirdly, friendly pace without ever planning that. I think I've been a bad influence on culture. And some I've led to really bad fifth sequels, imitations of The Hangover. and I love The Hangover, but $50 million bad taste Hollywood movies that they try to do now, which I think usually aren't funny. That's my influence. But they made money. I always say to Johnny Knoxville, who I think his movies are the very closest to the spirit of my early movies, mm-hmm. that how did you made millions, I made hundreds. And it's still amazing to me when I see his films and see blue-collar families together bonding as they watch naked men shove things up their rectum. It's amazing to me how he does it, but he does do it. And it's a bonding experience. I'm jealous of. The only person I'm jealous of is Johnny Knoxville, who is my friend, and I love him dearly.
Well, I read somewhere that you were working on early stages of a film with Johnny Knoxville. Is that true?
Well, it's late stages because I had a development deal 5 years ago and it never got made. So I wouldn't say that was early, no. Who knows if I'll ever make another movie, to be honest. It was 10 years ago that I made my last movie, which is shocking to me. But you know what? My book, Carsick, was a bestseller, and my last movie didn't make that much money. So I guess that's the reality of the independent film world today, which is, as I know it, gone. There's no such thing as an $8 million independent movie anymore. And that's what I routinely made. So I just like to tell stories, and I'm always have a way to do it. All my books are in print, and all my movies are still available. So, and they're on TV. So I've been understood. It's not like I'm some tragic, misunderstood artist. People didn't like, we got bad reviews in the beginning, but people still came. Mm-hmm. It took 10 years to get a good review.
Did you read the reviews?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I don't believe people say they don't read. And to be honest, as you get old, bad reviews are much harder to take, because in the beginning you're just glad anyone noticed, and I built a career on bad reviews. But during a time when there was a cultural war going on, there certainly is not now, and every critic now is way too hip to give you the kind of bad reviews that help.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I think today a bad review hurts more. But I've always said about all of them, my philosophy is I read them all. I read the good ones twice, the bad ones once, and put them all away and never look at them again.
I think maybe this is just, you know, uninformed outsider, but if you made your first movie in now more than a decade, I think it would be an event at this point.
Who knows, you know, especially I was trying to do a children's Christmas adventure. You know, I tour all the time with the show. I did it this weekend, and I did it yesterday in Cincinnati, and then I was in Cleveland, I was in Tampa, so I'm going, you know, really every kind of city in America. And they're sold out. You know, I signed books for like two and a half hours in Tampa. So oddly enough, I'm an insider now, which is funny to me, because my book was a bestseller, yet there's a scene where I, in the fictional part, where I'm raped by a spaceman, have a magic anus who sings a duet with Connie Francis. And this is number 7 or 8 on the New York Times bestseller list. I find that delightful, because when I was growing up, you could go to jail for writing that. So it's been good. Things have been good lately.
What do you credit with that change in the culture, you know, besides your own work?
I think that people got more used to not judging other people and to be able to laugh. And that is the whole thing. All humor, I think, is political. If you want to change anybody's opinion, you make them laugh. That's how I didn't get beat up in high school. The people that wanted to kill me, I could make them laugh. So I think that is the ultimate protection and the ultimate irony, the ultimate armor, I mean, is to arm yourself with some kind of wit. And it's hard to tell your parents, well, just make your kids hate authority, because then the people will beat them up or respect them. You can't really say that. So I'm not saying I would be a very good father. I'm a good uncle. I'll get you out of jail. I'll get you an abortion. I'll take you to rehab.
You're coming to...
But a dad, I'm way too self-involved.
Mm.
And I travel too much to have children or pets.
Right, and you're on tour right now. I was wondering if you're going to be hitchhiking up to Basilica Hudson.
No, I'm not going to hitchhike. I don't. The only time I've hitchhiked since the book was once I said, all journalists want you to hitchhike with them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I said in America, I'll do it once, I told the press guy. So I did it in New York, and I hitchhiked in Manhattan, which is the only place I've never hitchhiked, really. With a sign that said the Frick Collection, and did get a ride home in a town car with a driver. And the other day, I hitchhiked because a book comes out in London in the fall, and I'm doing a book tour there. So the Observer was here, and I hitchhiked with them with a sign that said London, and people picked me up. As far as real hitchhiking, when you're in the middle of an interstate somewhere in the middle of the country where people, if they recognize me, they don't think it's me anyway, because why would I be there? I hope I don't have to do it again. I could. I know that whenever I'm stuck somewhere, I wouldn't be afraid to do it. But I did it once. It's not the kind of idea that Beck asked for a sequel. No, I'm the opposite. I come first class where everybody's ugly. It's really true. Watch an airplane let out. The first people that come out, so ugly.
Were there places in America that you liked that surprised you during your travels?
I didn't enjoy any of the hotels, because I must admit I am used to better on tour. They always give me great hotel rooms now. I wasn't surprised, because I believe in the goodness of people. I was only, all my optimism was confirmed by hitchhiking across America. If anything, I was surprised how unpredictable so-called middle Americans were. Even if they didn't agree with my politics, how they felt about issues was not as predictable as you would think at all. But I believe that people that pick up hitchhikers are a special breed of people that usually have overcome something, reinvented themselves, and believe in people and want an adventure and are curious about people or are always open to an adventure, which is the reason I did it, to have another adventure at my age when my life seemed very safe.
We started off by talking about your Christmas show, and you're going to actually be back in our region coming up in December. On December 12th, you'll be at the Calvin Theater in Northampton, which I have to assume is a bit of a home game for you in some ways. But I saw your Christmas show at the Egg in Albany last time you came through, and I've been wondering ever since, who manages your Christmas card list, and how do I get on it?
You won't get on it, really. I mean, I manage it, and I have to. If you had booked me there, they'll be on it. But I have to do an interview with you more than once. you have to be really my friend or somebody that I've slept with or who have paid me. Or, I mean, it's 2,000 people now, and it's it is one, and also you have to keep in touch. But the worst is, like, if you move and you don't tell me where you live, you're really cut off, even if it comes back and the postman tells me. Like, I believe in the mail, and I know that almost no one gets mail anymore. The height of rudeness is when someone dies and you write a sympathy letter on an email. That is really unacceptable. But I still like the mail. I mean, I've used 2,000 emails a day. I'm not saying I'm not on the computer all day. But I still like the mail, and there hardly is any. I don't know where I live. It's like Spain. The mail's open 3 days a week or 3 hours a day. So to get people's mailing address, you ask them that today, and they act shocked when you say that. They're like, I don't get mail. I mean, because they pay their bills electronically, they cruise electronically, they look at porn electronically. So they almost have no contact, really, through the mail. And so I feel sorry for the mailman, and I still get a lot of mail and like it.
And I sense that there's a lot of interest in the tactile with you. I mean, one of your very famous quotes is, to paraphrasing, if you go home with someone and they don't have any books, you know, don't go do what you want to do with them.
Yeah, but I'm a liar if they're cute enough, you know. I used to say in my lecture, I've done worse because you go home with a racist if they were cute enough. And I have. You just tell them to shut up and go la, 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 la when they start saying that crap. In theory, it's correct. If I went home with somebody and they didn't have books, I wouldn't. But I must say I'm a hypocrite because, you know, my type is the hitchhiker with a birthmark and the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. So intellectuals are not always the first person I run to.
I have to ask you just, and I'm sure you're asked about this all the time, so forgive me, but for people of my generation, I think, one, our parents weren't quite ready to introduce us to John Waters. We had already heard about you from The Simpsons. And are you asked about that all the time?
The Simpsons? You'd be surprised. I might be in an airport and a young person will come up to me and that's what they know me from.
Right.
Or if I'm in the subway in New York, I get recognized for being in the Chucky movie. It depends where you are. So I try to be in things that all types of people will reach somehow. So in the subway, I get recognized for that show I did on Till Death Do Us Part, where I played the Grim Reaper. That or the Chucky movie or, you know, that kind of thing. But or the kids recognize me for being on The Simpsons. So it all depends, you know. The best thing ever, I was on a plane and this woman was staring at me and sitting next to me. I thought, okay, what's she going to say? And finally she said, excuse me, are you a magician? Which really made me laugh.
What'd you say?
Well, I said, woo, and I whipped my hand around and said, woo, here's your boarding pass. No, I didn't do sleight of hand with her. No, I just thanked her and said, not really, but I guess, I don't know, I guess somebody that really likes my movies could maybe say that. That would be an ultimate compliment.
Do you like being recognized?
I have no choice. It's what I do for my living. And I'm always polite to people that ask for cell phone pictures, even though that's the ugliest angle, except for Skype, which is even uglier. why people ever do porn with each other on Skype is beyond me. There's no more unflattering camera angle than Skype. But yes, they bought me my house. Why wouldn't I pose for a picture with them?
John Waters will be in our region at Basilica Hudson for a performance of This Filthy World, Volume 2. It's a benefit performance for Basilica Arts and the AIDS Council of Northeastern New York this Saturday. Earlier that afternoon, he'll be doing a book signing at Finch and Hudson, and he'll return to the WAMC listening area in December for a performance of his Christmas show. That's December 12th in Northampton at the Calvin Theater. John Waters, what can I say? You're the living end, and it's been a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you so much. At the living end, that's nice. I haven't ever been called that.
And you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.